No Peace Without Prayer is the title of the soon-to-be-published book by Benedictine abbot Timothy Wright. Father Timothy is an old friend of Vatican Radio and listeners who throughout the years have enjoyed listening to the many interviews and reflections he has produced for the English program will not be surprised to learn that the subject of his book is Christian-Muslim dialogue. A dedicated scholar and expert in interfaith relations, a man who has travelled the world to meet with, speak with, pray with and exchange ideas with imams and others committed to peace building through dialogue, Timothy Wright, OSB, is beginning yet another journey of commitment to the cause as he leaves Rome to teach at the Benedictine University in Lyle, Chicago, where 25% of the students are Muslim, and there is fertile ground for further research and insight into a new creative approach to peace building. Of course, we will miss Father Timothy, but he has promised to stay in touch and keep us posted. Before his departure, I met with him for the last time at the Pontifical Bader College, where he lived and worked as spiritual director during his time in Rome. Abbot Timothy speaks with optimism and enthusiasm of the new life awaiting him in the USA. He also talks about his ideas and his beliefs that are the seeds for his book and about his vision for a possible future in which Christians and Muslims across the globe will accept their differences and at the same time affirm their similarities in the name of brotherhood and peace.
I came to Rome 7 years ago and started work in the Pontifical Bader College as a spiritual director, thanks to the generosity of the rector, and at the same time was working for the Abbot Primate on Muslim-Benedictine relations. And that led me through 4, 5, 6 years of academic study on the one hand, and then during the vacations, a number of visits to countries where there were Benedictines and Muslims, and to try and test the waters to see how much interest there was in dialogue and what type of dialogue. And so all that has now come to an end, and I will be leaving the Bader, where I've had 7 very happy years, and moving to the United States. The reason for the move to the United States is really quite simple, because the Abbot Primate now wants me to work with Benedictine communities, particularly those who are in dialogue with Islam or have Muslim communities nearby and seek to get into dialogue, in order to bring the fruits of my research into their way of thinking, into their way of acting, and to encourage them to enter a dialogue, and at a deeper level to engage in what I call a dialogue of spirituality. Now, these things take time to develop. The work I did in my research, which is an integral part of this new development, is going to be published in August under the title of No Peace Without Prayer, Encouraging Muslims and Christians to Pray Together, a Benedictine Perspective. And the Benedictine perspective is quite important because the thesis was geared specifically to the Benedictine charism. The book is geared to a much broader readership of people who are interested in and have friendly relations with their local Muslim communities and want to get beyond simply the matter of doing things together, ensuring that there is mutual understanding of different customs and different ways of approaching things. So I'm trying to move that dialogue a step further, so both within the monastic tradition and within the Christian tradition. So you might ask and say, well, what justification have you for that we are so totally different? To which my answer quite simply is that the spirituality of the rule of Benedict and the spirituality of Islam are like brother and sister. They were both emerged in a similar environment and had similar origins. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that the rule of Benedict emerged from the desert experience of the early monastic tradition, which was mainly eremitical, but it had a spirituality based around the Word of God, based around the repetition of phrases of prayers, particularly the Psalms, and a sense of discipline, etc. go 140 years after the rule of Benedict and you have the revelations to the prophet, again, in a desert environment. And those revelations were made to someone whose memory was A, alive, B, perceptive, and C, well-tuned to remember. And in that memory, each of these revelations, and there were many, many revelations, hundreds of them, the prophet brought down to his group and repeated. And in that culture of repetition, eventually emerged the Quran, the voice of God speaking to the prophet through the word. In the Benedictine tradition, the voice of God speaking through the scriptures in the word. And it is in that spirituality of the word that there is a relationship. I call it brother and sister. There are, of course, other elements within the rule of Benedict which echo the disciplines of the Muslim way of life, of simplicity of lifestyle, of generosity, of giving, of learning to care for the other, of seeing in the other the presence of God, whoever that other is, offering hospitality, etc. And within that framework, there is the possibility, therefore, of creating a new style of dialogue. I call it the dialogue of spirituality. But a dialogue of spirituality which has a very particular end in view. What is this particular end in view? This particular end in view is to try and create something quite new in the dialogue. At the moment, if you talk to any Muslim people, they will tell you that the Western world, which they see as a Christian world, is a world of violence. The Christian armies, the militarism that accompanies many so-called Christian countries. Leave aside the fact that most of them would call themselves secular now. As far as many Muslims are concerned, they are religious. They have military chaplains who are Christians. And there are many Christians, practicing good Christians, who are members of those armies. On the other side, you have many Muslims for whom this Western side is a threat. And so you get the militancy, the power, the destruction, the violence. And at the moment, the dialogue between the two hardly exists. And in some cases, when you listen to the both sides, they're not even listening to each other. Is there another route, is the question I ask. And through my Benedictine experience and through my experience of the spirituality of Islam, what I am trying to suggest is that a detailed examination of the two sacred texts shows that many of the figures in the Christian tradition, Adam, Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, to name five, Jesus, Mary, are echoed in the Quran, and echoed positively in the Quran, not the same exactly, but there are similarities. And you put that truth together, the fact of those two elements, and you say, as we ponder our sacred scriptures, the Muslims are the Quran, the Christians the Bible, so we get insights coming to us as we listen. And my point is that if you have a shared reflection on a topic related, say, for example, to Adam, each will be able to produce her or his insights into that topic, into that personality, into the events that are described in the scriptures. And out of those shared insights, it's possible, say you've got a group of four people, or most six people, to record those insights. And in recording them, to be able to transcribe them into what I call a tapestry, which is a memory. A tapestry of the different threads coming out of the believer's reflections, Muslim, Christian, to create this tapestry on the memory, for example, of Adam. And in that tapestry, there will be lines and links which each can share with the other, each can affirm. And there will be links and elements where there is difference. And it is trying to put those two together, because the basic truth behind these revelations is the one God, which the Vatican Council affirmed in its document Nostra Aetate as being the one God of Christianity and the one God of Islam. The one God revealing in two voices. The one God's sanctifying in two ways. The one God being remembered as those sanctified sharing their insights together to produce a tapestry of similarity and difference. This is not syncretism, nor is it trying to reach an agreed statement, nor is it intellectual. This is the heart speaking to the heart, inspired by the one God in two different ways. Yes, it's ambitious. Yes, there will be a lot of people, Christian and Muslim, who will say it's impossible, it doesn't represent artists, etc. But what cannot be denied is first, the one God. Second, that the scriptures echo each other. And third, that each of us, Muslim and Christian, is capable of meditating on those scriptures and having insights flowing from that meditation. And so fourthly, what is not disputable is if we share those insights, both of agreement and difference, of echo and counter-echo, there we can create something new, a positive memory, accepting difference, affirming similarity. And in that way, help to dissolve some of the negative memories which are passed down and have been passed down for generations among Christians on the one hand about Islam and among Muslims about Christianity. So that is the core of what this book is trying to say and trying to achieve. Will it succeed? As both Muslim and Christian would say, if it is God's will, it will happen. All I'm trying to do is to propose and to invite. And that is the core of what I'm trying to do. The reason I'm going to the United States is I'm going to a monastery called St. Procopius in Lisle, Illinois, which runs a university called Benedictine University. 25% of the students there are Muslim. So that the Benedictine culture and the Muslim culture coexist in that university. And they've invited me to work there because of the possibility of developing among those who are interested and in a way that is not trying to push anything against anyone's will, this sort of creative approach to our two spiritualities. So I ask you to pray for that intention.